But we did have a great time in Knoxville. I seen God really minister love and to the people there through Pastor Dave, and it was really good to see how God is interested in expressing love to people. Because, you know, most Christians don't know what it's like to be loved. I don't know, maybe I'll just sit here and preach on this for a little bit. Most of us don't know what it's like to be loved unconditionally. Most of us don't know what it's like to receive love unconditionally. And most of us don't know what it feels like to be blessed by God just because He loves you unconditionally. I think that we understand He loves us. And I think that we understand that we are beginning to understand that we're His children. But I don't think that most of us really know what it's like to be a child of God. I remember when I first started with Brother Norville, they put me at his door as an usher. And I took it real seriously. You know, Brother Norville had his office, and he was in his office in a meeting. And I was supposed to stand there, and no one was allowed to go into that door. And I mean, I stood there. We had to wear suit and ties back then. And I stood there, my suit and tie, and I think I was probably 23 years old, and had my arms crossed, and had my serious face on. I mean, just you walked in the hallway, and I was staring you down. Like, you, I don't care if you intended to come in this door or not, you're not coming close to this door. And nobody, I mean, no one, was going to come through that door. I was going to do my job. And then Norville's granddaughter, Lee, who was about 5 or 6, or well, just young, maybe 6, 5, 6, 7, came marching out of the office, down the hallway, heading to Brother Norville's office. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, even at 6, she understood that she was Norville's granddaughter and didn't care a lick about me or what I was going to say. And so she was marching for the door, and I tried to block her a little bit. I said, Lee, you can't go in there. She goes, yes, I can. And she went right by me, opened up the door, and then she went. And I thought I was going to get in trouble. But Norville stopped his meeting with whoever it was and entertained Lee for a few minutes. And, oh, hi, little Lee, and talked to her, and then she left, and that was it. And he was happy, and she was happy. And I was happy I didn't get in trouble. And you know, there's a thing about God that you have to understand, or I have to understand. There's a place, and Pastor Dave calls it the place called done. The place called done is not a place of faith. It's not a place of the future. It's a place of us living in the present. It's a place where you can live with your dysfunctions and with your weaknesses. With our hidden sins. And trust that all the blessings of God are coming to you. Not because you're worth it. Not because you've done enough, but for one simple reason. You believe He's your Father. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 3. okay if I preach a little bit? Verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Let's read that again. But no one, say no one, is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. There's not one person who's ever been justified in the sight of the law. For the just shall live by faith. Now stop right there. I'm a faith boy. Been trained. Trained in faith. Trained in confession. Trained in casting out devils. But when we say faith, that's where our mind usually goes for us faith people. But that's not what he's talking about. There's a place that we can live in. Help me, Jesus. I'm trying to preach this out right. There's a place that we can live in every day where we wake up and we go to sleep with confidence that all of our needs are taken care of. That every prayer that I need answered is right up a step ahead of me. It's right there. And I don't have to wrestle with my needs. I look at my bills and I did this much in. So bless God, I'm going to war. I want to tackle it. I want to take care of it. I'm going to use my faith. Faith is a place where you can live in. Instead of me trying to believe in something, why don't I just simply become the person, the child of God, that He gives it to? Instead of me being the man who's trying to believe in something, how about I just believe I'm the one that He blesses? Last year in June, a grace came on me. Like I knew I was empowered by God to get in the shape. And He gave me instructions to what to do, for me to do. And I realized, instead of me being the guy who's trying to get in the shape, I have become the man who's healthy. That's who I am. I'm no longer someone trying to be healthy, trying to get in the shape, trying to lose weight. You know, there's people who just live like that every day. They're not always trying to lose weight, gain weight, lose weight. You know, going on this diet, woohoo. They're actually, that's how they live. Every day they live that way. That's just how they live. They eat right. They live right. It's just what they do. Every day they get up and they do their exercise. It's not a war. It's who they are. And so I knew this grace was on me, and I became by His grace. So when I decided to get up and exercise, and my body says no, my flesh, my soul says no, I tell myself, yes, because you're the man that gets up and exercises. You're the man who's healthy. When my bills are causing me to sweat a little bit, I tell myself, you're the child that receives freely the blessings of God. There's a place we can live in where all the blessings of God are yours because He loves you that much. Why do we pray in tongues and confess? We know it. It's to change us. But we're not trying to be changed. It says to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed. We're not trying to be conformed into church people. Stop trying to conform yourself into a church person. Stop trying to conform yourself into a believer, a faith person, and be transformed into the child of God that can receive all the blessings of God, all the strength that you need and grace that you need because you're His child. Let's keep reading here. Yet the law, verse 12, is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And I remember when I first, years ago, got a glimpse of this verse. We had a man in our church. He was an associate pastor. I was in my early 20s. And during a conference with a certain guest speaker, his son fell in the kids' church and injured his collarbone. That was during the morning service. So during the night service, because this world preacher believed that you had to plead the blood over everything. And the teaching is you have to plead the blood twice a day. Because the accuser comes before God, I think it says morning and evening or somewhere. So you have to go before God twice a day and plead the blood, at least. And so this world-renowned preacher grabbed the poor little associate pastor, whose son is just out of the hospital, and strutted him on stage in front of a whole audience and said, "Now, if you plead the blood for your child twice a day, that wouldn't have happened. Have you been pleading your blood over your child?" And he said, "No. I've been slacking." And instantly, it put all of us in the sanctuary in fear. And all of us that next morning got up and pled the blood. And listen, you better plead the blood when you get in the car and going on a trip. You better plead the blood over your children. You can't sleep in the morning. If you sleep in the morning and your husband gets up and takes your kids to school and you sleep in because he won't plead the blood. But if you get to sleep in and forget to plead the blood over your children, something horrible can happen to them. And you have to do it twice a day. How many know this teaching? Sure. And for the first few years, I was getting free from pleading the blood, I have to confess. If I was on an airplane and it shook a little too much, I started pleading the blood. Cover my bases, you know. But thank the Lord I got free from pleading the blood. I don't plead the blood anymore. Now, it's okay to confess the blood. Because when you plead the blood, what you're saying is my words turn on the protection of God. And see, what you're saying is I'm at war with the devil. You're not at war with the devil. The devil is already defeated. You're not to fight him. He'll spend all day and fight with you if you let him. He'll take every day and fight with you and stir up trouble here and stir up trouble there. And he'll take waste all the time you're supposed to be enjoying life and have you fight him. You're not at war with sickness. You're not at war with disease. You're not at war with poverty. You're not at war with the devil. The devil is already defeated, and he is under our feet. He is to be dominated and not played with or fought with or argued with. He's to be told what to do. See, the blood of Christ, it's the precious blood that was paid, the price for your salvation. It was the blood that purchased for you freedom to be saved, freedom to be delivered. The blood of Christ was the price that was paid, but it was already paid. So I thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blood that it has provided protection for me. That no matter where I go during the day, my family is protected. And so am I. If you and I are not careful, we can be pulled into a life of works, trying to fight things and defeat things that are already defeated. The Bible doesn't call you a conqueror. It says you are more than a conqueror. Through who? Through Christ Jesus. So who's the conqueror? Jesus is the conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You get all the benefits without the fight. See, the only fight you have is the person you're sitting with. The person in your seat is the only one that you're fighting with. You're not fighting with the devil. He can't make you sin anymore. He can't make you give in to fear. He can't make you give in to poverty. The only battle you have is the person that's in your seat. That's the battle. Let me go a little further here. Verse 12. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now, the law he's talking about here is the law that the Judaizers were trying to put the Galatians back under. You need to be circumcised. You need to hold the Sabbath. You need to hold the feasts. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. Now just stay with me for a minute here. If the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now, look at me. When I began to learn not be a pleader of the blood. Now, in some places I'll get in trouble for saying that. But when I got free from that, because that was a law that I submitted myself to, that said I needed to plead the blood twice a day over everything. And if I didn't, then the accuser would come and find something not covered by the blood, and he would take it from me. Now watch me, listen. That is a law that I accepted for a short season. A wrong doctrine that I accepted as truth and put myself under. In other words, instead of me having faith, instead of me believing that I was a child of God purchased by the blood, walking in the liberties of life, of freedom from sin, of freedom from poverty, of freedom from sickness and disease, because of the precious blood that was sown on Calvary, I was putting my faith in my words to turn it on. So my faith was in this law. This new law that somehow someone concocted. Called the devil. That you had to plead the blood twice a day. Here's what it means. That if you put yourself under that law, you have to keep it. Because that's the only where my faith was at. If I didn't plead the blood twice a day, I didn't believe God could take care of me. Which means He couldn't. I better plead the blood over every car I get into. Over every plane ride I get into. I better plead the blood over every both of my children every day, twice a day. I better plead the blood over the tricycle so no one steals it. I better not forget. I better not forget because that is where my faith is at. You're subject to keep whatever law you put yourself under. Because that's the only faith you allow God to work with. Am I preaching okay? If you let the devil tangle you up to believe that you are never going to receive your calling because you don't pray enough, then guess what? You're putting yourself under a law. And that's all God has to work with. You're subject to keep the law. Thank the Lord, we've been free from the law. Christ became a curse for us, freeing us to be holy. So many Christians are fighting with holiness. Struggle. Well, they're not fighting with holiness, they're fighting with unholiness. Because they're trying to conform themselves into an image of God, to an image of a Christian, instead of being transformed to the image of Christ on the inside of them. We're not to conform ourselves. We're to crucify ourselves and be conformed into the image of Christ on the inside of us. Now look here in verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. What's the blessings of Abraham? Well, I can tell you the biggest one he's talking about here. The ability to receive the promises of God by faith and not by works. Ooh, that's good. The blessings of Abraham. The ability to receive the promises of God by faith alone and not by works. Oh, that's good. Instead of us having to believe. I'm trying to speak this out carefully here. Once in a while, just once in a while, I catch a cold. And that's tough for a preacher, for a faith preacher. And I'll tell you why. Because there is a false image There is a false image, say false, a false image that if you go through something, that it's because you lack in faith. I just have known every, been able to be around, not every, but many faith preachers. And I think I've known every one of them to go through something. But yet there's an image of heroics and strength, of idleness that we place either ourselves as preachers or we place our preachers on pedestals. That says they don't get sick. They don't go through things. Because if you do, you're lacking in faith. And how sad it is when I talk to people who are going through a battle that's more than a cold, and condemnation is on their shoulders. It says that you're lacking in faith. My answer has become, you may not be lacking in faith, you just have to use your faith. Because you're supposed to walk through this. See, life itself is going to throw you curves. Just living through this world. Gray hair starts popping up. Come on, where's your faith? Hey, I'm still young enough to preach like this. My bones haven't started aching yet. There is a false image of perfection. There's a false image that if you go through a battle, you lack in faith. Do you know what faith says? Faith says when a battle hits your life, no matter what it is, whether it be your finances, whether it be your health, or maybe it's a thing in you that keeps coming up that you're battling with that's unholy. Faith is this. Faith simply says when those things come up in your life that you don't submit to them. Faith says, this thing is in my life, but I'm not going to give it the right to rule me because I am a child of God who doesn't have to accept these things, and I refuse to give in or bend my knee or bow down because this thing is telling me I have to accept it. I refuse to accept that I have to live in sin my whole life. I refuse to accept that sickness is allowed to stay in my life. And I refuse to accept that poverty is going to rule me. Just because you're walking through a battle doesn't mean it's because you lack in faith. The only time you lack is faith is when you roll over and give into it. Man, I'm preaching good tonight. The blessings of Abraham. The ability to receive from God by faith. And not by works. I remember we had a couple of girls at the Bible college in Tennessee, and at one point I was a kind of a manager of a group that traveled, and I had to supervise these girls, and they were the laziest girls you've ever seen. capital L, lazy. And I mean, like, you can make him do anything. I tried being mean. I tried being nice. I tried buying it. I tried every trick I could think of, and you just couldn't make them do anything. And they didn't care. And then one day, Brother Norville got up in front of a crowd of people and called up these two girls. So I believe God wants to bless these two young ladies. And they received a great big fat offering. And I was so mad. I thought, that's not fair. I'm working my tail off, running around, nonstop being faithful, and these two, capital L, lazy girls, are walking off with a big offering. Hey! What about me? And that's where I begin to learn a little bit about being spoiled as this kid. It's okay to be spoiled as his kid. It's okay to expect him to bless you just because you're his kid. It's okay for you to expect healing just because you're his. Not because you're good enough, qualified, but because he loves you that much. Yes. I haven't really studied this out. This is just coming out of me a little bit. So I don't have a lot more scripture verses to go to. I am a man who's come from being a servant of man to being a son of God. That's been my transformation. And there's a place called done. A place called faith that you and I can live in. That no matter what comes your way, no matter what struggle, no matter what care that comes your way, you can stand in that place called done. That says, I am not a okay believer who's only disciplined himself to pray so much in tongues or fast so much or do so much with a few hidden sins here and there, trying to conform into someone. But I am his child. I've been transformed into the image of Christ on the inside of me. That I am free to receive all the blessings of God without one work, without one pinky being lifted. Because I'm his child. I can go into his presence anytime I want to. Let's go to Hebrews. I got tired of trying to be in the place called done and decided to just be in the place called done. Doesn't mean we don't go through things or walk through things. It means that we do go through things and we walk through things. But we get to the other side. And while we're going through things that may come our way, we're not ashamed or condemned. Oh, if you only knew some of the stories of the preachers in the hospitals. One preacher, world-renowned, word-of-faith preacher. I don't know, sometimes I tell these stories, I think I get in trouble. But I don't name names. I picked him up in his hotel room to take him to the airport. And we got the times mixed up, so I got there 5 minutes earlier. He was just getting ready. So I helped him pack up his stuff so he can make his own jet. There was a small hearing aid on the counter. Makeup. This is a man. A few other things to get prettied up. Just because we go through things. Listen, let's get rid of that false image. That perfection. That faith is perfection. How about we get that image of faith is victory? And no matter what I go through. There's a false image that God's going to come rescue us. If I just stand and believe, there'll be a magical rescuing. I go to bed and have all my problems. I'm mean, I'm selfish, but then magically my life's going to turn around tomorrow. Listen, this walk is a walk. I am 40 years old and I'm just starting to discover who I am. Thank God I'm not 20 anymore. Thank God I wasn't in the trying to figure out who my wife was and figure out who I was. And thank God. I'm just now discovering who I am. I may be slow, but I'll get there. This is a walk. But I'll tell you this, a lot of the blessings I'm walking in today are because of the choices I made in the past. Not because God came and rescued me today, it's because I made choices every day to stay in His will, to stay on course, to stay in His will, whether I liked it or not, to keep praying, to keep fasting, to keep confessing the Word. All those things helped me to walk into the transformation. But not a work. Confession is not a work to go to war with against sickness, against poverty. Confession is a weapon, a tool to go against the unbelief on the inside of you. You are His child. And we are being transformed into children of God who play and enjoy life, and are not have to be afraid. We don't have to carry the cares of this world on our shoulders. My son gets up in the morning. He doesn't think about where his food is coming from. He's 4 and a half. Doesn't even dawn on him. Disappears. Just there. It's provided for. He doesn't think about a roof over his head. Doesn't think about his clothes. That's being a child. Getting up in the day and enjoying life. Not having to carry the cares of this world. I am my son's father. He's not to worry about those things. He's to be enjoying life. And I have a father who cares for me. The best thing I did for my family was to let go of them and let Him care for them instead of me. Where am I? Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, verse 19, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. You know the story. the Old Testament. Let me give you an example. The presence of God. God came and walked with Adam, talked with Adam, fellowshiped with Adam. Adam looked God eye to eye and did not feel inferior, did not feel ashamed. Adam stood in the presence of God with full assurance. Without shame, he was free to enjoy the presence of God. And God was free to enjoy the presence of Adam. But when Adam sinned, God withdrew his personal presence into this little room called the Holy of Holies. And that was the only fellowship that man really got to experience the way that Adam experienced. Are you still with me? And you know, if you don't know, the Holy of Holies was in the temple. It was a room that only the high priest would go in. It had a cloth that was about a foot thick. I'm not sure how high, 16 feet high maybe. And a foot thick. That once a year, you, as a Jew, would never experience the presence of God. Your job, once a year, you would take your best lamb and take it to the temple, and they would take that lamb and they'd sacrifice it for you. And in your place, the high priest would take the blood of that lamb and enter into the Holy of Holies for you. And there, your sins for that year were covered. You didn't worry about your sins, you just covered them every year. And we know the story of the high priest. They put little bells around his robe and tied a rope around his ankle, because if that high priest didn't do everything right and he had a little bit of sin exposed or didn't do everything perfect, when he went into the presence of God, sin exposed, he would drop dead. Does everyone know that story? So what would they do? They'd grab the rope, they'd listen outside. Hear ching, 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 thud. So they grab the rope and pull him out. Because I'm not going in there to get him. Give me another high priest. So when the writer of Hebrews says, go boldly into the throne room of God, that's a statement. Forget about everything. You're a child of God now. It doesn't matter what usher standing there in front of the door. Go boldly into the presence of God, because there you're going to be received. If you go into the presence of God boldly, you won't be turned away. You won't be looked down on. You won't be scolded for the lack of things you didn't do. You will be received. God withdrew his presence into this little room called the Holy of Holies. Not his omnipresence, because he was still everywhere at one time, but his personal presence. Look back here in Hebrews 10. See if I can find this. Oh, we'll go to verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are according to the law. In other words, God took no pleasure in those sacrifices. Then he said boldly, I have come to do your will, O God. He who takes away the first may establish the second, that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands ministering, this is verse 11, daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, say one sacrifice, for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. How many here you're being sanctified? You also know you're perfect forever. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Say this with me. I am perfect. Well, some of you waited for a second. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to trick you. The image God wants you to be transformed into, to live out of, he doesn't want you and I to conform our flesh into a church believer. We're not to be living in that place called flesh. Living in that place called failure. I'm going to church today. I just need to be lifted up. I'm such a failure. You're not to be living in that place called failure. That place is being sanctified. You're to be transformed and living out of that place called done. The image of Christ in you. That's perfected forever. I'll try that again. I have spent too many years of my life wrestling with my flesh. And I'll probably spend the next 30 years wrestling with aspects of my flesh. But just because I'm wrestling with it doesn't mean I live out of it. When I go to God, I don't go to God out of being conformed. Look how far I conformed my body into God. He's going to say, what good is that? You can't take that with you anyway. It's not doing you any good. What are you doing trying to prove to God you have faith out of your body? You don't have to conform it. It doesn't say conform your body. Do not conform into the image of this world, but conform it into the image of God. No, it says do not conform your body. Do not conform into the image of the world, but be transformed. This is who I live out of. God's gift to me is righteousness. The ability to stand before him perfect and pure and free and as a child and to receive all the blessings of God. That's the gift of righteousness. Abraham's blessings. To no longer to receive from God by my works but by faith. My gift to him is holiness, sanctification. You are by one offering, you have been perfected forever, those who are being sanctified. Now I know we're getting on this line of once saved, always saved. And I know some of the statements you can hear, because it is close. Because when you understand God's love, you'll know this. He will never walk away from you. Never. No matter how ugly you get, God will never walk away from you. But you can walk away from him. And if you play with sin, and if you play with religion too much, eventually sin will make you choose it over God. And that's where you can lose your salvation. There, that's your disclaimer. Okay. For by one offering, you've been perfected forever. Now let's try this again. Say, I am perfect. That's pretty good. Try it again. I am perfect while still being sanctified. That's right. That's it. I'm still being sanctified. Do you understand what that means? That you can fight and struggle being sanctified, but you're free to walk into the presence of God and to receive the promises of God. He'll meet your needs. He wants to meet your needs because he loves you that much. The promise of God. He wants to heal your body just because he loves you that much. A promise of God. He wants to set you free. That you're free from all sin. Because he loves you that much. These are the promises of God. They're free. Just because. Sin has put away with once and for all. Christ did that for us. Sin was the problem. Sin is what separated God from mankind. I'll give you one more scripture, then I'll close. Let's go to Matthew. The promises of God are free. The blessings of God, you have to prove. I want to be anointed. Well, anointing doesn't come because you're his child. Anointing comes because you walk with him. Well, God, I want to be a multi-billion gazillionaire. He would like to too, but that doesn't come because you're his child. That comes because you prove yourself faithful. See, those are the blessings of God. The promises are what are promised based on you being his child. Salvation, deliverance, healing, and your needs being met. You don't have to do one thing. And if you trust that you're his child and live out of that place called transformation, that place called done, it'll all be there for you. All right, one more scripture, then I'll be quiet. I always love causing trouble. I don't mean to, but Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, verse 46 of Matthew 27. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this is the point where sin was placed on Christ. The Father turned his back on him. Because sin is what separated God. No, let me say that again. Sin is what separated man from God. The moment man sinned, God cannot walk and talk with him anymore. Could not fellowship with him. We're no longer free to be in his presence. It's God and sin. Don't mix. But it says that Christ put away sin once and for all by one offering. Sin and the power of sin was defeated on the cross. Not just over you when you were born again, but over the entire human race. The power that sin held over the entire human race to separate man from God was defeated. Sin no longer had power. It was put away with. Defeated. God withdrew his personal presence. The plan was for him to walk and talk, not just with Adam, but with every son and daughter that was born in the human race. To walk and talk with them. But because of sin, he withdrew his personal presence into this little room called the Holy of Holies. You were not free to walk with God or talk with God. The closest you were able to come was to take a lamb to the high priest and let him touch God for you. And that was it. There's a vast difference between the relationship that the Old Testament saints had with God and what you have with God. They're completely different. Jesus cried out, my God, why has you forsaken me? That's the moment sin of the entire human race came upon him. And God the Father turned his back on him. And look what happens, verse 47. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. The price was paid. Sin was paid for. The blood was shed. The precious blood of Christ purchased all the power of sin. Jesus paid for. Sin no longer had power to separate mankind from God. I hope you get in this. Your weaknesses in the flesh. Well, sorry, that's good preaching. Our weaknesses in the flesh. What we're being sanctified of no longer have power to separate you from him. Just religion does. That says because you're weak in the flesh, because you're going through a battle, just not good enough yet. You know why I pray in tongues? Because I have to. If I didn't have to pray in tongues, if I could just live my life and not have to pray in tongues for hours and not have to fast, you think I would do it? I have to do that if I'm ever going to conquer and sanctify myself. But I do those things for only one reason. To sanctify myself. Not to become more perfect, because I'm already perfect. I am perfected forever. Okay, one more verse and I'll be quiet. Verse 51. Are you ready? This is a good closing. After Jesus yielded up his spirit, verse 51, then behold, what happened? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Here's some good Holy Ghost preaching for you. God the Father, who pulled his presence into a little tiny room, his personal presence, because sin had separated man from him. The moment the price of sin was paid for, no longer could it separate him from his children anymore. And he stood up in that little temple and he grabbed that 1 foot thick cloth and he ripped it in two and stepped out into the world to try to find children that he can walk and talk with. And he's looking and searching right now for you to quit worrying and dragging your heels and your chin on the floor because you are being sanctified and start living in this man called Done, this place called Done. I am perfect. I'm free to go into his presence and walk with God and look him eye to eye and be free to receive all the promises of him. Not because I'm good enough, but because he loves me that much. Glory to God. You're perfect. Act like it. When poverty says you're going to fail, quit acting like it. Oh, I'm still being sanctified. Grab your soul and plant it in that place called done. And then look at that poverty in its eye and say, I'm perfect. Shut up. When you walk through a sickness and it attacks your body, you don't lack faith. You just have to walk in it and say, I don't care who's being sanctified, because I am putting myself in this place called done. And look at that sickness and say, you have no right in my body. Now get out in Jesus' name. When you wake up after you failed, you didn't pray like you should have. You didn't exercise like you wanted to. You didn't eat like you could have. You blew your money on what you shouldn't have. You thought what you shouldn't have. You played with what you shouldn't have. And you wake up the next day regretting what you did. Remind yourself, I'm being sanctified, but I'm still perfect. And I refuse to accept that that's the man I have to stay. God's gift to you was righteousness. The ability to receive all the blessings and promises of God without one work, but by faith. Your gift to Him is holiness. Glory to God. Let's not put ourselves under silly curses, under religious law, and keep trying to earn something that's already been given to us. Let's be free to go into His presence. Why don't you stand? Thank you, Father. Father, we don't take these cares because we don't have to. We have a Father who loves us. No longer will we let religion, in whatever form it comes, stop us from fellowshipping with You. You tore that veil. You stepped out into this earth because You were looking for me to walk and talk with me, to care for me. And I am sorry that I let religion, wrong doctrine, tell me that I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough to go into Your presence. From this moment on, I will never not go into Your presence, because I am perfect. And I will give You the gift of holiness. I will continue to pray and fast. I'll continue to challenge weaknesses in my life and unbelief. But on the road every day, I will get up and spend time with my Father who loves me. Thank You for loving me so much. Now there's just a deep, this is what I'm hearing, a deep experience of His love that He wants to give to some of you. So right where you are, just lift up your hands. Step out of that soul. Step out of the sanctification. Step out of the conformity. And just let yourself be transformed into that place where there's absolutely not one thing that will hinder you. You will not get a lesson on what you did wrong. You will not get a teaching. In His presence, you just get Him. So go ahead and step in that place. And let your Father love on you for a moment. I won't take long here, but go ahead and sing. And as she does, there's an experience of love that He wants to give us tonight. I'm not going to stop right now. Make yourself, right now, confront the fear of rejection and make yourself go into that place where His love is. You will not be rejected in His presence. Make yourself go there, right now. Make yourself go there. He wants to shower you and you to experience a touch of His love. This is a touch that goes deep. It's an anchor that when all hell comes against you and everything is yelling at you that you're a failure, you have such an anchor of His love that you will know that He has not left me. Thank you, Father. Just receive this. Be healed tonight.